Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we begin the program by talking with you about sustainability in businesses. The UW-Madison School of Business is hosting its annual sustainability conference next week, and we're really pleased to have a couple of guests with us today to talk about that conference, but also to talk about sustainability. What does it mean to be a sustainable business? And does how sustainable a business is influence your decision on whether or not you purchase from them or use their services? What benchmarks do you rate them on? Are you a business owner? It's another. We'd certainly like to hear from business owners as well. Do you incorporate sustainable principles into how you do business? Those are some of the things we can talk about with our two guests today, Tom Eggert, one of our guests from the Business Sustainability Program at the UW-Madison School of Business, organizers of the 2011 Wisconsin Sustainability Business Council Conference. And Tom Eggert, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Larry, thank you so much for hosting us today.
And Jeff Holcomb with us as well. Jeff is from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, as well as the Greater Madison Convention and Visitor Bureau. And Jeff, great to have you along as well. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Jeff, let's turn to you first, Jeff. What does sustainable mean to you? And what about green?
Well, the convention business is a huge business. Tourism and convention business in Madison annually brings in about $1 billion to the local economy. And,
wow.
Yeah, that's a big number. And the convention part of it is where I focus. And I work for the Greater Madison Convention and Visitors Bureau. And so our job is to increase the visitor volume and spending of Dane County and the Greater Madison area by, in my case, finding more groups to have conventions here. And more of the groups are concerned about the environmental footprints of their conventions because, let's face it, they all use resources, travel, lodging, meetings. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to minimize these.
Why would a business or a whole economic sector, Tom, become interested in sustainability?
Well, ultimately, the answer is you and I. So businesses are interested in sustainability really because customers are interested in sustainability. In addition to customers, we have supply chains driving sustainability. I think many of us have heard about what Walmart has done with companies that are supplying Walmart and the demands that they're putting on companies. In addition, you've got investors that are choosing to invest in companies that are, by some accounts, green or sustainable. And then the last of the reasons that really is driving business is both the retention of talent and the acquisition of talent. So the students that I'm working with now, when they're surveyed about where do they want to work when they leave school, they want to work with a company that they believe in. They want to work and do something that they feel good about. And this has really driven a lot of companies to say, we need to position ourselves in this green space for a host of different reasons.
Yeah. Within a UW business or Wisconsin businesses, mm-hmm. who is typically responsible for sustainability and where does that impetus come from?
Yeah, and it really depends on the business. So let me sort of draw in a little talk about the conference that we have coming up. So we have a number of CEOs speaking at the conference because for many companies, that's where the interest in sustainability begins. But for a whole tier of large multinationals that are located in the state, there are VPs of sustainability. So we have some of those people coming in. And then for others, it might be facility managers, might be legal, might even be marketing people. So it really depends on the company as to, where that locus is of responsibility for sustainability.
And do you see some trends in business sustainability?
Well, one of the things that was really nice to see coming through the recession was investment in R&D and in green projects didn't tail off. So while companies were hunkering down and pulling back, it wasn't in the green area. And again, I think that's largely because of what's happening within customers and the demands that we're making on businesses or the expectations that we're putting on businesses.
So in essence, it's probably increasing the interest in it and
right.
the practice of it.
Right. And it is harder and harder to find businesses in Wisconsin or any place else that aren't able at least to talk about what they're doing from a sustainability yeah. perspective.
Yeah. You know, I haven't given the number yet, so let me do that. If you'd like to join in with questions or comments, you are most welcome. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there as well. We'd love to hear from you. Jeff, I know that the Monona Terrace has ways to measure how sustainable it is as a business. I'm wondering if you would talk a little bit about how businesses measure their sustainability.
Sure. You know, as I said, all convention groups now want to reduce the impact of the to the environment of their conventions. And so one of the ways they do that is to meet in facilities that are sustainable or at least try to be sustainable. And the most common measure of that is called LEED certification. The U.S. Green Building Council has a criteria set up, and LEED is for leadership in environmental and energy design. And Monona Terrace in the city of Madison early on recognized that those standards would help them, you know, book conventions. And so they went ahead and spent about $150,000 and about 2,000 staff hours to get certified by the U.S. Green Building Council. They're the first convention center in the country to be LEED certified as an existing building.
Cool.
And that's helped tremendously. We've probably booked about 20 conventions specifically because of that certification, which they achieved in 2007.
Including ours.
And more than covered the cost.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, convention business is a big business, and it's one of those things that drives the economy here in Dane County and the greater Madison area. And it comes mainly from people who visit Madison, stay in the hotels, shop, eat at the restaurants, and pay taxes on the hotel rooms. And so it's a great addition, and it's held up very well through the economy, and we see increasing tax revenues from the hotel room tax moving forward. So we're looking ahead. You know, we book conventions. I'm working on conventions right now for the year 2018.
Oh, and, that far ahead.
But these groups really look at ways of reducing the environmental impact of their conventions, and working with a LEED certified center is one of the highlights.
Well, we have callers online. By the way, again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question. I want to give Heidi and Madison a chance to join in. Heidi, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. This is Heidi Spate, and I was just giving a call because as a recent sustainability consultant and now new business owner, I have a completely different perspective on the types of trade-offs that businesses have to make and decisions that they have to make when trying to be more green or sustainable in their business. And one point I wanted to make is that I think that customers, when they're really interested in looking for green businesses, can look to make sure that companies are making sustainable business decisions that are really deep and meaningful, so not just recycling and changing their light bulbs or even just investing in green building, but actually changing their packaging. Is there, you know, are they using more recycled products in their packaging, and is their product itself more sustainable, or are they just making, you know, another plastic widget to put out there but doing it using more renewable energy, or are they making really good sustainable products? And I guess I was wondering, from next week's conference, are there companies now in Wisconsin that are making those really deep and meaningful changes that we get to, you know, tout and be proud of?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thanks for the question, Heidi. So the sessions that we have scheduled for the conference next week, I think, go directly to the question that you're asking. What are businesses doing that are deep and meaningful that others can learn from? So you mentioned packaging. One of the sessions that we have is on green packaging and, you know, what's sort of the state of the art among businesses that are looking at greening their packaging options. So we've got Land's End coming and talking about what they're doing. We have Cardinal Glass, which now uses reusable crates for shipment because it was simply less expensive than you know, one use, one direction shipping that they never ended up seeing again. Some of the other sessions that we've got are, you know, that go to the green buildings. How do you improve the performance of your building? What are some of the tweaks or bigger things that you can do to lower energy costs, increase building performance, and significantly increase employee productivity? Because, wow, look at employees are more productive in buildings that they feel good about. We have a session on sustainability and its relationship with reputation. One of the companies that will be talking at that session is Menasha Packaging. When you drive up Highway 41 through the Fox Valley, you go by Menasha Packaging, and they have 5 wind turbines up right in front of their facility. Those are really expensive. They justified them in terms of reputational enhancement, not just pure return on investment from the energy that they're generating. They've become now identified in the public's mind as, oh, that green company with all those turbines that are up. So the conference is really designed to bring businesses together to learn from each other about what they're doing to green themselves. Mm.
Thank you, Heidi, for calling. I appreciate your call very much. Now, there are I know there are a lot of people signed up for the conference, but there's still openings. I should mention this, and we'll mention it again later,
right,
but let's do it now, too.
So the conference is Thursday the 8th. It is at Monona Terrace. The early registration period runs through Thursday of this week. So rates are $35 for students, of which they get $25 back. We figured if we just offered it for free, they sign up and then they don't come. But if we make them pay and give mm-hmm. them money back when they show up, they actually come. $125 for public sector. That includes municipal employees, state employees, academics, and then $250 for the private sector. Those rates will go up after Thursday to $35 still for students, $175 for the public sector, and $350 for the private sector. So register before Thursday to take advantage of those cheaper prices.
Okay, and where do you register?
The website is just simply conference.wisconsinsustainability.com. So conference.wisconsinsustainability.com.
Actually, we have it up on our Facebook page, too. So if you
Great.
Go to the Larry Mueller Show, that might be the easier.
Yep.
Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can click on it, and we'll get you signed right up. Get signed up.
Right.
We are talking today with Tom Eggert from the Business Sustainability Program at UW-Madison School of Business and Jeff Holcomb from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, as well as the Greater Madison Convention and Visitor Bureau, about sustainability in businesses and about the Sustainability Conference coming up beginning on December 8th. Looking forward to what you have to say about it. Give us a call with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Suzelle in Brookfield, we go to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm actually a minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church West in Brookfield, and we are very much interested in sustainability. And one of the ways that we got started was buying sustainable energy through We Energies. And then, of course, we progressed to putting solar panels on our roof, as well as some of the smaller things that were mentioned earlier about recycling and things like that. It is interesting to see, though, for me, working in the interfaith community, how very few churches actually have dived deep into the pool of sustainability. And while churches aren't exactly a business, I'm kind of interested in what is this sustainability conference doing to encourage that kind of participation from religious communities?
Hmm. Interesting question.
Yeah, great question. So let me sort of lead with an answer that so the conference is put on by the Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council, and that council sponsors a green recognition program called the Green Masters Program. Given what you were just talking about and what you've done at the church, I'd really recommend looking at that program, which is simply at greenmastersprogram.com. It's a points-based program, much like the LEED program that Jeff was talking about earlier, that allows companies to say, well, here's a third-party program, and I am sustainable, to this degree based on the points that I get. We have no churches in the program at this point. So I think it would be a great opportunity for your church or others out there that are listening that have committed to sustainability to develop some credentials, again, that are third-party credentials. Now, having said that, the conference itself would be potentially of assistance in sort of the building operation, maintenance session that we talked about. We have a session on small businesses that is going to be pretty useful from a church perspective, because many of the challenges for small businesses are going to be similarly a challenge for a church. We have a metrics session. What are you measuring and how do you measure it? Again, so if you're going to talk about being sustainable, what's a credible way to talk about that? So I think some of the sessions would be useful for those in the faith community.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the things that would qualify, we are already doing. And it's interesting to think about getting a third-party credential. We certainly have one already from within our denomination. Part of it for us, though, is teaching sustainability to our members and teaching it from a faith-based basis. Mm-hmm. You know, how does this serve our deeper values as Unitarian Universalists? Sure. So for us, I think encouraging other faith communities is a part of that, you know, sort of spreading the gospel of sustainability, if you would. So I don't know if getting a third-party credential, I guess getting a church name up there might encourage other churches to think about how they could do that. But, yeah, building operations, you know, we certainly are using natural cleaning products and trying to, when we remodel or do anything to the building, to try to do that from a sustainability standpoint as well. I mean, those are all principles that we put in place. Sustainable purchasing, values-based purchasing, has been a conundrum for us. We just recently went through a challenge in terms of trying to find some tables that were produced sustainably.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any guidance offered with that?
Not at that level of detail, but let me... Mm-hmm. So at the conference during lunch, we celebrate the top 20% of companies that have come into the Green Masters program. And so these are truly our Green Masters. That's the top tier. The middle tier is a Green Professional. The entry tier is Green Apprentice. It would be wonderful and I think very good from the purpose that you're trying to serve to highlight a church within that top 20%, not at this year's conference, but perhaps at next year's conference.
Sure, sure.
That'd be great.
Well, you have a great example right there with our sister congregation in Madison. You know, they have a gold LEED certified building there at First Unitarian Society in Madison.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, thank you. I will look into that website to the Green Masters program.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Tom Eggert and Jeff Holcomb are guests today as they visit with us about the Wisconsin Sustainability Business Council Conference coming up in December. December 8th it begins. And also just talking in general about how to make a sustainable business. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking sustainable businesses today with our two guests, Tom Eggert from the Business Sustainability Program at UW-Madison School of Business, Jeff Holcomb from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center. You can join in again at 1-800-642-1234 with your comments or questions. Let's go to Amber in Rushford, Minnesota next. Amber, hello. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call today.
Sure.
I'm just out on my tractor today listening to your wonderful program. I'm really enjoying listening to other businesses and finding out what they're up to and finding out that other people are interested in sustainability. My comment today is apparently about agriculture. I'm all about celebrating agriculture. As a farmer, we're out here looking at sustainability from a very different angle. We're looking at it, you know, from the ground up, taking care of our land, because that is, you know, what sustains us. So we have to make sure we're taking care of our land, taking good care of our animals. That's sustainability to us. But also, so many of these green options and stuff like that are also what's profitable for us. So I was going to put my 2 cents out there and say go agriculture.
Thank you, Amber. Comments? Tom, I'll start to you.
Sure. We are trying to support everything that you were just talking about. So food at the conference, we wanted to have local food, organic food. In fact, the lunch that we're serving is an all-vegetarian lunch for environmental footprint reasons. And again, trying to draw some attention to folks like you that are making the commitment to operate in a more sustainable way, figuring that it's going to be customers are going to drive the agricultural community just as they're driving the business community.
Yeah, absolutely. Way to go, Amber. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Yeah, you as well. Chris and Madison, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. Thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm a transportation planner, and I work with a lot of developments and a lot of like LEED certifications and businesses and buildings that claim to be sustainable. But one aspect that's pretty much universally ignored is transportation, and especially with building as much parking as they do and not really promoting sustainable modes. And so I was wondering if there's anything that the conference addresses on sustainable transportation, how businesses could help promote more sustainable modes.
Not in a session, although we are addressing transportation from the transportation that we're actually providing. So we're providing a free bus coming in from Milwaukee and a free bus coming down from the Fox Valley so that people don't have to drive. And so I agree with you. Transportation is a huge area. It's an area that we probably should be doing a lot more in, and we're trying to do, to make our little contribution in trying to encourage people to take the bus as opposed to drive.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Jeff, we talked a little bit about a business, how you can measure your sustainability. What are some of the metrics that are probably most useful?
Well, Larry, that's a great question. People love Madison, and especially the environmental groups love meeting here. Unfortunately, I get to go after those, and we've had a great number of them. And growing in the meeting industry is also the interest in meeting green. And there's actually an organization that we belong to called the Green Meetings Industry Council. And they have a whole way of evaluating a city and a convention center and a hotel to let people know in the meetings industry, are they green or are they sustainable or to what degree are they? And so it's very important for our hotels to work at that as well. And everybody's probably seen how hotels now will offer to not wash your towel if you hang them up and that sort of thing. And all of the hotels work on recycling. Madison was the first city in the country to have curbside recycling, and we're a leader in sustainability. So the green groups love us. But all groups want to make sure that their convention center is doing everything they can. And one thing Tom said earlier is about the catering. For 100 people to find in February enough organic local products to feed a lunch maybe isn't so hard. But think about 1,500 math teachers in February. It's very difficult to get the volume and the quality of locally grown from producers. And oftentimes, local producers don't want to commit to a caterer like Manoa Terrace who needs such a big volume because they don't need it on a regular basis. It's based on whatever they have booked. And so there are some very unique challenges with being green and being sustainable and being local. But Manoa Terrace does about as well as anybody could in those regards. And the other thing about this is convention centers over the years have evolved. It used to be the first thing they did was put out recycling cans in the hallways. But confidentially, at a meeting I went to in D.C., a convention center guy came up and said, for years we were taking all that stuff and dumping it in the same dumpster. And a lot of these meeting planners now are savvy. And when they evaluated us, I had a group, they actually go to the loading dock and make sure that the stuff is being recycled the way you're purporting to. And so meeting planners have gotten very savvy about evaluating facilities, and they do have standards. Fortunately, Manoa Terrace ranks pretty high that way.
And you, Monona Terrace as well, has, I think, isn't it 100% of its electricity is generated from renewable?
I'm glad you said that because Jeff Griffith, the head of maintenance there, reminds me of that. They buy wind energy credits, right? And that's over and above what they have to do to have the LEED certification. Yeah. But it's really important to particularly groups that want to highlight that. And some groups, you know, you offer suggestions. Okay, yes, you can use local foods. You can buy locally. You can try to reduce the amount of convention stuff, you know, that you put out. You can try to reuse things by using recyclable products. Monona Terrace offers all those things. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, these convention groups still have to travel. They still have to stay in hotels. Yeah. And so there is an environmental impact. And the idea is maybe to minimize that and keep it manageable and then work at that every year to make it better.
Mm. One of the things that we do each year at the conference is purchase carbon offsets then to offset the footprint of the conference. So it was really appealing to work with Jeff and Monona Terrace because the carbon footprint is already starting off to be less than holding the conference someplace else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have Ann in Port Washington with a comment or question. Let's go there. Hi, Ann. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. My question, maybe slash comment, is just about, it was just mentioned briefly, I think, the types of promotional items that are often given away at these conferences, lots and lots of little things which in many cases end up being completely useless, you know, understanding that the various businesses want to get their name out there, but it there seems to be a lot of waste in that regard at a lot of these conferences. Is that addressed at all?
Jeff, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I'm a 28-year veteran of the convention industry, and yes, there's a lot of what we call tchotchke out there. And, you know, I have a good friend who owns a company in Verona called PC Name Tag. His name is Nick DePitsis, and the big part of his business is the software used to make badges so that all associations can, you know, make their own badges. But they also carry a line of these promotional items that you mentioned, bags, pens, you know, those sorts of things. And yeah, they've been given sort of a bad rap. So a lot of the companies who sell these items actually have turned to compostable plastics, recyclable products, biodegradable products, and oftentimes the bags are made out of reusable material. So they've jumped on that bandwagon as much as they can. But in all honesty, probably the first thing associations do is look at what do they really need and what can they not, you know, what can they get away without having at the conference. And so, you know, sure, some of those things are still there, but I think the industry as a whole has tried to address it.
And we've tried at the conference this year to respond to some of the comments that we've gotten for past years. And so everybody will get a flash drive, a bamboo flash drive, I might add, that will have all of the paper that you would otherwise be given at registration on it as electronic files. We'll be giving everybody a water bottle, a reusable water bottle, a clean canteen water bottle, and there are water filling stations at Monona Terrace, so there are no plastic water bottles that will be present at the conference. And everybody, unfortunately, is going to get a bag also, but that bag will be an organic cotton bag for, you know, hopefully for reuse. So we've tried to anticipate some of the pushback, rightfully so, on you know, the promotional items or the tchotchkes that get distributed at conferences.
Yeah, great.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ann, for calling. Appreciate it. Joan from Madison wondered in an email, how can we persuade hotel owners to stop using styrofoam plates and cups for their free breakfasts? I mentioned my concerns about these in my evaluation, but I've seen little difference. I see two issues here. Labor costs of having a dishwasher, loading and unloading, and the energy cost to run it, yet the disposable costs money too, are usually not biodegradable. What are your thoughts on this? And Jeff, turn to you first.
Well, I love those questions because I managed a convention for 12 years before I did this, and so I had to deal with a lot of that too. I think the first thing you can do is what you've already done is to communicate that with your hotels, and if enough people do that, they'll change those practices. I'm assuming it is all about costs. One of the things, though, that when I used to work for the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, and one of the things they did early on was lobby to get the laws changed so that restaurants and hotel restaurants and caterers can donate prepared foods to the food pantries and shelters without the fear of, well, if somebody got sick, then is there a liability issue? So that they were able to get around that. And so one of the things that hotels do that people don't realize a lot is donate a lot of the extra food that they have and to good causes. But hotels always are a challenge because you have a variety in Madison of individual proprietor-owned hotels, chain hotels, locally managed or managed from afar, and they all have different values and they all have different techniques. But in Wisconsin, we've had a program, Wisconsin Green Travel Program, Travel Green Wisconsin. So the hotels have been through a lot of education, and a lot of them have upgraded as much as they can, and they're continuing to do that.
Alex in Eau Claire, it is your turn. Hi, Alex. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
On my way to school here, I'm listening to your talk on sustainability, and I thought, you know, the point of the trucking industry should be brought up. You know, as most people know, America is one of the largest consumers of oil, and that's directly attributable to our trucking industry. And so, you know, one thing I think that America could definitely work on as far as sustainability goes is the rail industry. You know, America used to be huge into the rail industry, you know, from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I feel that if we were to, you know, upgrade our rail system to maybe high-speed electric trains or something like that, that we could definitely reduce our impact on the environment. You know, if one engine could pull 100 cars, you know, why would you continue to go with one truck pulling one or two cars?
Hmm. Tom, I'll turn to you for a comment.
So, you know, at least according to the radio ads that I hear, you know, trains are much more efficient. And using, you know, I can't even remember what the numbers are, a gallon of diesel for, you know, 8 miles versus something much less than that for trucks. So I agree that, you know, using trains more would be acting in a more sustainable way.
I'm wondering, thank you very much for calling, Alex, by the way. I'm wondering, is it, does size make a difference in terms of sustainability? I mean, as you get larger and larger, does it become more difficult or to be sustainable? Or?
Yes and no, I would say. So just looking at businesses again, small businesses have, you know, they're facing a million different challenges every day, all the time. And sustainability is one small component of all the challenges that they're facing. However, they're small businesses. They're much more a part of their communities. Understanding what their community is interested in is actually much easier for them and probably much more important for them. So the small businesses that we have talking at the conference really attribute their success to their commitment to sustainability and how that positions them within their communities and against their competition. Obviously, with bigger businesses, there are people assigned to sustainability, whether it's a VP of sustainability or whatever the position might be, and having, you know, your sole responsibility be to figure out what you're going to measure, how you're going to report, how you're going to brand yourself, how you're going to minimize risk from, you know, water disruption or power disruption, whatever it might be, and having the luxury of taking, you know, that's your job, allows bigger businesses to be positioning themselves and thinking about issues that that small businesses simply just can't think about.
Yeah. So it's kind of a little of both.
Yeah.
There are challenges at every level, I guess.
Right.
But there are a lot of people out there who are doing it, and certainly those who are interested in learning more about it are going to have a great opportunity with this conference. And maybe we should just go back through that conference again and talk about what's there, and there's still time for people to sign up for it.
There is. So early registration runs for another couple of days, $125 for the public sector, $250 for the private sector. Register at conference.wisconsinsustainability.com or offer the link through Larry's page. Some of the sessions that we didn't talk about that I think are really important sessions, there's an employee engagement session. And more businesses now are trying to figure out how do we engage our workforce in this interest in sustainability, and what are the benefits to us if we engage our workforce? And so we have Myron Construction coming in. They worked with Cool Choices, which is a nonprofit, on developing essentially a game for their employees that they had 65% participation in, tracked performance improvements and environmental changes that were very significant. We also have Diversey coming in out of the Racine-Sturdivant area, talking about how they have engaged their employees and how they have measured productivity improvements, absenteeism decreases, health improvements, hard measures that indicate, mm-hmm. This is something that really is of value to the company. We'll also have a session on what we call one great idea, where we're just breaking all of the attendees up into four groups and giving them 2 or 3 minutes each to talk about one idea that they've implemented in their business over the last year that others might be interested in. So kind of a great information networking exchange opportunity for businesses.
And again, the dates?
December 8th, so a week from this coming Thursday. Early registration ends this Thursday. Doesn't mean you can't register after that. You're just going to pay more. So I'm encouraging everybody to register now. Information available online at conference.wisconsinsustainability.com. Number of sponsors, business sponsors, public sector sponsors for the conference. Those are all online also.
Well, guys, it's been great. I know we already have a lot of people signed up for it, but there's still openings.
We did end up selling out last year. We're at a bigger facility this year. We're at Monona Terrace, obviously, this year. So hopefully that won't be a problem. But my recommendation is don't wait until the day of the conference and hope to get in.
Yeah, and the Monona Terrace, having attended many conferences at the Monona Terrace, it's just a wonderful,
beautiful
place
facility.
And Larry, on behalf of the Greater Madison Convention and Visitors Bureau, we bring conventions into all the facilities, Alliant Energy Center, Marriott, mm-hmm. Middleton, all the hotels. But I want to say thank you to Tom Eggert and really say that it's the local people here in the community that are responsible in most cases for bringing these conventions in, because these associations have a lot of choices around the country of where they can meet. And oftentimes, it's the local professor at the university, the local business person, or the local hobby enthusiast that is responsible for advocating and saying, hey, let's meet in Madison. We actually have a program called Bring Your Meeting Home on our website, www.visitmadison.com, where people can learn more about how we can help them bring conventions into Madison.
Very good. What's the address again, sir?
www.visitmadison.com.
Oh. We might be able to post that as well on our Facebook. We'll do that. Judith will do that. We'll post that up on our Facebook page, too. So all that will be on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Tom and Jeff, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks,
I really appreciate it. Tom Eggert is from the Business Sustainability Program at UW-Madison School of Business. And the business school is the organizer of the 2011 Wisconsin Sustainable Business Council Conference. Jeff Holcomb is from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, as well as the Greater Madison Convention and Visitor Bureau. And it was great to have them here. And I'm sure we'll be talking about sustainability and sustainable businesses in the future, possibly and probably with them again. You know, when you attend a conference, I always take my camera along when I'm going to visit and I'm going to attend someplace new. And I've had trouble and problems with my digital camera from time to time. Maybe you have too. Jack Socha is a photography instructor and author and will be visiting with us next about buying and using your digital camera. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.